afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Mark Lamarche.
Okay, if you just hold on for a moment, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will serve as the lead for your hearing, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Could you please start by stating your full name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is Mark Lenard Ramage. My Arizona Department of Corrections number is 129377.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. And you were notified about this hearing on January 17th. You signed a form. Do you remember signing the form that day?
Yes, I do.
Okay, on that form there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself in this hearing?
I did not hire an attorney, and I would rather just represent myself here.
Okay, so that's fine. That's just it's an optional thing, but it's your right if you wanted one. Okay, so I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look to your right, I see you just put your glasses on, so you'll be able to see us. To my left, your right, all the way on the end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us, and you'll see him in a minute here, the Honorable Mr. Turner. He'll represent the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Ramage and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Ramage?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Ramage, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Ramage, for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. Okay, sir, so we'll start phase one of your hearing, and the allegation is that you were in violation of condition 12B, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Stepp's House, which is at 7155 North 66 Drive in Glendale, on or about December 12, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Ramage, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am. However, my relocation was outside of my area of control.
Okay, so...
I was discharged from Stepp's House.
Okay, so it is true. Would you notify your parole officer then?
I attempted to, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mark. We'll have the opportunity to explain in detail in phase two. But for now, the changing your place of residence without the prior approval of your parole officer, I'm going to call that one true, if that's acceptable with you.
For the most part, it is true.
Okay,
just
sir.
No prior.
Right, no prior approval.
I was not forewarned.
Okay, all right, sir. Then I'm going to make a motion to move us from phase one to phase two, and then we'll have a lot. We can explain anything you'd like to explain. But based on Mr. Ramash's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and had lapsed or may have lapsed in the criminal ways of company. Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second to Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Ramage, we'll go into phase two of your hearing, but before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So just hold on the line. We'll be right back to talk with you some more and ask you some questions. All right, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Ramage was released from ADC custody on 10-16-2018 and arrested on 12-29-2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges were noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 12-29-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 4-2-2019 with 17 abscondes. Current convictions, 2016, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1996, dangerous drug violation, 5 years. 1997, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, commitment C, count two, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2002, commitment D, count one, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-1, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2001, TIS release, absconded for 35 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2005, TIS release, completed 4 months. Disciplinary was minimal. Other arrest, 1982, dangerous drug violation, Arizona County Jail. 2007, assault, California County Jail. He has a GB score of G2, V4.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Lamage, we have a written summary of what happened while you were on community supervision. So I'll just kind of go over that with you. It looks like you were released. You'd gone to the Second Chance Program, right, at Lewis?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and you and they placed you at, or you were placed at Vivre on West Elm. And then to another Vivre facility on South 22nd Street. And you were discharged, it looks like, because you didn't submit a urine sample. Is that right?
That's the reason they gave me yes now.
What do you think the reason was?
Well, that one will suffice, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. You just made it sound like there was more to the story. That's all. That's the reason I asked the question. Okay, so then you went over to Steps House on North 66th. And it says you were discharged from there because you didn't clean a grill that you had used.
Yes, ma'am. That's what Rob told me.
Okay, so what really happened?
Well, ma'am, I did use the grill. I did eventually clean the grill. However, it was not to the standard that the house manager wanted. As far as I could tell, that he proceeded to tell me that I had ruined the grill, and he threw the grill away and told me that I need to find someplace else to live. I said, there's no recourse for that. He said, absolutely none. I want you out of here by 9 a.m.
So what did you do to the grill that caused it to be ruined, in his opinion?
I used charcoal on the grill, and I didn't thoroughly clean it.
Was it a metal grill?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. It's a charbroil grill.
Okay. All right. Were you working at all while you were out, sir?
No, ma'am. I am 100% disabled.
Okay. All right. And it looks like you also were responsible to submit some urines. You submitted two, which were negative, which is a good thing. Had you had a drug history, it looks like you've had a conviction couple for dangerous drugs or drug paraphernalia. Had you had a drug problem?
Yes, ma'am. I'm active in the recovery community here in Yuma County, as well as Phoenix.
Excellent. And what was your drug of choice back in the day?
Alcohol, marijuana, and methamphetamines.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're active in the recovery community. That's a very positive thing. Okay. Now, what were you doing the day that the Phoenix PD picked you up? What caused you to come to their attention?
I was walking down the street. I picked up a wooden grave stake off of the ground, and I imagine that's what attracted the officer's attention to me. He shined a spotlight in my face, asked if he would please remove that spotlight from my face, and I continued on my way.
So what was the, I don't understand what the thing was you picked up off the ground. A wooden, a thing, piece of wood?
It is a wooden grave stake when you prepare the ground for resurfacing. Grade has to be established. They pound a small wooden stake.
Oh, grade. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Okay. I thought you said grade.
I apologize.
I thought, no, I just didn't hear you very well. Okay, so, and he just, you think the police officer just wondered what you were doing with that or why you were pulling that thing out?
That's what attracted his attention to.
And what did he do when you said to take the light out of his eyes or her eyes? Could have been a woman.
I asked him to remove the light from my eyes and shut the light off.
Oh, okay.
And he made some type of comment. I couldn't understand exactly what it was that he said. But at that point, I just continued on my way.
And did they call you back, or? What else happened?
I went to a place where I was staying. You have to say, at that point, ma'am, I was on the street. I had no place to live. And basically, I was headed to shelter. He came to my sheltering spot, and he called me out and asked me for identification. Told me I was trespassing.
Okay. So had you been on the streets from the time that you were discharged from Steps' house, from the 12th to the 29th?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I had been.
Okay, so you just had a place you were...
I didn't have the financial means to enter another sober living facility. I checked out a couple of them, however, they needed money up front. I didn't have that fee up front.
Okay, and were you, because you were a disabled, were you receiving some sort of SSI or something?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay, all right, so you would have had money eventually.
Yes.
Okay, so, sir, why did you lose touch with your parole officer?
Unfortunately, the only source of communication that I had was a cellular phone, and around the city of Phoenix, it's very difficult if you don't have a place to plug your phone in to be charged to find a place. When I did get my telephone fully charged a day or two later, I immediately sent her a text message, which was the means of communicating with her, that she gave me, phone call, text message, or email. The last line of my text message to her was, please advise. I informed her that I had been discharged from Steps House and that I didn't have the means to find another place of residence. We had spoken of this situation before when I left V-Grade. And she informed me that she had a program, an agreement with the address. She could probably put me at the 25th Avenue and Elm Street address, which was a 90-day commitment, just like Steps House.
Right.
Basically, it was a treatment program.
Then you didn't want to go there?
It really didn't make a difference to me at that point, ma'am. However, I had already found a place to reside at Steps House. That was after my discharge from Beaver. Then we had that discussion.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, she was pleased that I had taken the initiative in contacting my forensic peer support specialist and found a placement at Steps House.
Okay, I can understand that. Okay, but why didn't you pursue it further and stay in touch with her? You were absconded for 17 days.
Yes, ma'am, I understand that. I could have been more proactive in that situation, and unfortunately I wasn't, and here I am.
Okay, sir. All right, I'm going to see if my fellow...
That is the only explanation that I can give you, is that I could have been more proactive in that situation, but I wasn't. I was remiss in that. I admit that.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question? Okay, so we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of, just without repeating something you've already told us?
At this time, no, ma'am, there isn't.
Okay, Mr. Ramash, thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, sir, and we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone and listen to the discussion, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Amash was is thankfully working with the recovery community, and that's important given his history. I think it's very important for him and for safety of society. Unfortunately, he lost touch with his parole officer, and for understandable reasons, he was homeless, didn't have a way to charge his phone. And he's very accepting of responsibility for that. I see him with a release date of April 2nd, which is just right around the corner, and I'm thinking that his best option is just to stay where he is and finish out his sentence and be released without supervision at that point. But I'll listen to any input from fellow board members. Seeing no input, I'm going to make a motion that, excuse me, based on information and warrant 2018W3736, a conversation with Mr. Amash, information from Mr. Turner of Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Amash was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by absconding for 17 days, during which time his parole officer could monitor his activity.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, and Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Amash, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, but we're showing you with a release date of April 2nd. So it's not all that far away, just kind of us, what, six weeks or so away. And at that point in time, you won't have a parole officer. You won't have to worry about supervision and reporting in to anyone. We certainly wish you the best, particularly with respect to your sobriety. And it's very impressive that you're maintaining an active role in the sobriety community, sir. So we wish you the best. Thank you for participating in your hearing today. And we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone back to the CO2 or CO3 and let the CO3 know that you're finished with your hearing, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. You all have a good afternoon.
You too.